Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gujarat Fluorochemicals Limited Q1 FY 2026 post-results earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rohit Nagraj. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Sudha. We thank the Gujarat Fluorochemicals Management for providing us the opportunity to host the company's 1Q FY 2026 post-results conference call. From the management, we have today Dr. Bir Kapoor, CEO and Deputy Managing Director, and the senior members of the management team. Without taking further time, I would like to invite Dr. Bir Kapoor to share his opening remarks, post which we can have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rohit. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to all of you for GFL's Q1 FY 2026 earnings call. For this call, I have with me my colleagues, Mr. Akhil Jindal, our Group CFO, Mr. Manoj Agrawal, CFO of GFL, Mr. Kapil Malhotra, Business Head of Fluoropolymers, and Mr. Rajiv Rao, who's Business Head of our Battery Chemicals business. The company announced its quarter one FY 2026 results at its board meeting held today. The results, along with earnings presentations, are already available on the stock exchange and on our website. I'll briefly highlight the key financials and then give you an update on our business operations and outlook. I'm pleased to share that from this quarter onwards, we will commence reporting segmental data. From now onward, we'll start providing segmental numbers, so let me give you the chemical segment's update first. The chemical segment reported a 9% year-on-year increase in revenue to 1,280 crores in quarter one FY 2026. EBITDA grew by 33% year-on-year to 354 crores, with EBITDA margin expanding by 495 basis points to 28%. Profit after tax for the quarter stood at 196 crores, making a 69% year-on-year growth. Consolidated revenue from operations stood at 1,281 crores, reflecting a 5% year-on-year increase. EBITDA grew significantly by 31% to 344 crores, with margins improving around 500 basis points to 27%, up from 22% in quarter one FY 2025. Consolidated PAT also increased to 184 crores, making a 70% year-on-year growth. This strong performance was primarily driven by sustained growth in our fluoropolymers business and an improved product mix. The management is focused on working capital reduction, and thereby the working capital has reduced from 188 days to 172 days in this quarter, and efforts are on to further reduce over the next few quarters. Let me now walk you through the performance of each business segment for this quarter. Our fluoro segment revenue has been rising steadily, and we have now surpassed our previous high to achieve the highest-ever quarterly revenue. We expect this growth momentum to continue on account of growth in new polymer sales volumes, driven by already approved qualifications for high-end applications, in sectors like semicon, aerospace, and automobiles, amongst others. The capacity which we have added in new fluoropolymer segments over the past few years are expected to reach optimal utilization levels by the end of this financial year. Additionally, we'll continue to invest in expanding our fluoropolymer capacities to support future growth. Following initial validations and approvals, we are now witnessing strong traction in these segments, as reflected in our current performance and outlook. Rising demand from key sectors such as automotive, semicon, and electric vehicles, and energy storage systems is opening up significant growth opportunities for us. Based on current customer discussions and approvals, we are confident of achieving around 25% growth as guided earlier. In our fluorochemicals business segment, we are excited to announce the start of commercial production of R32 in Q2 FY26, which is several quarters ahead of schedule. This has been achieved through strategic retrofitting and at minimal capital expenditure. We aim to ramp up our R32 capacity to 20,000 metric ton in phases by the end of this financial year. Further capacity additions plan will be firmed up looking at the market opportunities. With this addition, we now offer a complete range of refrigerant products including R22, R32, R125 and R410. The specialty chemical segment remains stable during the quarter and is expected to see steady improvement going forward. Our bulk chemical segment saw a slight decline in revenue during the quarter, mainly due to lower caustic soda prices and a planned CMS plant shutdown. We expect this segment to normalize in the coming quarters. Turning now to our battery chemical segment. This segment is emerging as a cornerstone of our future growth, further aided by the global demand for battery energy storage to support large-scale global developments in AIML, workloads, global capability centers expansion, EV infrastructure, and renewable energy deployment, all of which are accelerating the adoption of battery storage systems. A major catalyst is the recently introduced bill in the United States, which expands subsidies beyond electrical vehicles to include energy storage systems. The bill offered a substantial $45 per kilowatt hour subsidy, covering approximately 2/3 of the battery costs, making large-scale battery productions in the U.S. not just feasible, but highly attractive. Importantly, the bill also introduces supply chain safeguards requiring up to 85% of inputs in the next few years to be sourced outside the prohibited foreign entity category over a period of time. Currently, the largest supply chain for battery material is originating in PFE category country, therefore providing an excellent opportunity for our battery material business to present an alternate supply chain option to our customers. We are exceptionally well positioned to lead this space. Our existing capacities and initial approvals give us a strong foundation for global leadership. Besides our electrolyte and salt plant commercialization, our LFP CAM plant has successfully completed pre-commissioning activities, and our LFP pilot plant is also now operational. We are actively developing customized grades tailored to customers' specifications, reinforcing our commitment to innovation and responsiveness. This is a pivotal moment for our battery materials business, and we are confident in our ability to capture the opportunities ahead. Let me now touch upon the recent U.S. tariff announced on India, where an additional duty of 15% has been imposed, taking the total to 25% from 10% previously. The products, however, like PTFE and micropowders and majority of our battery materials are exempt under the reciprocal duty lists. The revised duty, however, apply to a few of our new fluoropolymers, as these products are highly specialized with very few suppliers globally and having a long qualification cycle. We believe it will not be easy to develop an alternate supply chain in short to medium terms. Therefore, we do not see any significant impact on our business. To summarize, the fluoropolymer segments will benefit from incremental sales of high value-added products. Fluorochemicals will see significant increase in revenue driven by commencement of our R32 business, and our battery material business is poised for significant ramp up in the medium to long term. We remain confident of delivering sustained growth and creating long-term value for all our stakeholders. Thank you, and we are now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening to our team and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First, on the fluoropolymer side, fluoropolymer revenue has reach all-time high in this quarter. So is this run rate sustainable, and what visibility do you see in the volumes for the rest of FY26 for in the upcoming quarter? So the first question.
Rehan, we have already stated that we expect the fluoropolymer business to achieve a growth of 25%, and we see that happening probably by the time we complete this financial year. And we expect this revenue growth to continue quarter by quarter.
Oh, yeah, I think I missed that. Okay, sir, I noted. And my second question is from the dealer for customer approval pipeline. Can you elaborate on the customer approval pipeline for the new high purity polymer, especially for semiconductors and aerospace applications?
Sure, I will request Mr. Malhotra to.
Hi, Rehan. So, I had also mentioned in the previous calls also that couple of high-end applications, especially semiconductor, we have mentioned in our statement, aerospace, automobiles. So we have also got couple of high-end polymer approvals from the Western countries also, and also from Far East countries. So the commercial business also has started from these applications with the every quarter coming up, we expect these numbers to ramp up and the business to grow up continuously and more approvals to come consequently from other customers also.
Okay. Okay. So my last question is just understanding like regarding my, that you have stated right now regarding the US tariffs. So like right now we are dealing in the specialty type of chemicals in the US market. So that's why we are not exempted towards that 15% tariff. Is my understanding correct in this?
No, there are specific products which are mentioned.
Like R125 and R410A.
Right. I don't think the refrigerant gases are part of that. The PTFE and micropowders are part of it, and majority of the battery materials are part of mixtures where it's exempted from the reciprocal duty list.
Okay. Okay, so that's it for my time. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Couple from my side. First on the R32, can you help us understand what is the capacity we added now by retrofitting the existing plant? And we said in the opening remark that we are looking to scale up to this 30,000 metric ton by end of FY26. Is that right understanding, or you will wait for validation of this product and then you would want to expand and take a decision, or we have already started the work on expansion?
Not really. Thanks, Sanjesh. Thanks for your question. First of all, we have already, since this is a retrofit, we have already done. We have already checked the materials and it's already qualifying. We have also shipped our first shipment to our customers. So the plan right now is not wait and then expand. Since we are retrofitting, it is done in phases. So as I had said, I had stated 20,000 ton by the end of this financial year, Sanjesh, and then we'll decide on the further ramp up plan based on the looking at the market opportunities available to us.
Okay. So by when are we expecting this existing plant? I don't know what capacity they have added to reach the optimal utilization, and what is the capacity with this first phase we have done?
So Sanjesh, it will not be appropriate for me to give the exact capacity now, but of course it's in upward to 10,000 that we had indicated, and we'll slowly ramp it up going forward.
And the remaining 20 will also come as a retrofit, or it will be a fresh plant?
Everything will come as a retrofit. Of course, it may require some amount of balancing equipments to be added, because always retrofit, there are imbalances. So when I said end of the year, because that means we'll be adding some equipments to de-bottleneck and ensure that we achieve that capacity that we're talking about.
And when are we expecting to reach this upwards of 10,000 capacity to its optimal utilization? This quarter possible? Q2?
So I think capacity utilization we'll probably share you a little later, but we expect it to, looking at the market opportunity that is available to us, we expect that utilization to happen rather fast.
Got it. Second, on the fluoropolymer, you said that we have a good visibility on order book and you reiterated the guidance of 25% for this year. First quarter wasn't 25%. So what is giving us the confidence? And then there's an uncertainty of US tariff, which is very large market for us. I know PTFE doesn't get impacted, but new fluoropolymer does. So what is giving us the confidence of this 25% growth?
So I'll just make one comment and I'll hand it over to Kapil to add more. The first thing is, because since we have already been approved, and as you know, the fluoropolymers, these are very specialized products. After approval, the capacity, normally the orders start at a relatively small level and then keeps building up. So that is what is giving us confidence, because we have a large number of approvals in place. Now, coming back to the capacity, this tariff situation, US is a large market for us, but if you look at the volumes are very large in case of PTFE and micropowders, which are in the exempt list. New polymers are indeed part of it, but there's a certain level of, their stickiness to that business, and I'll let Kapil add to that. Kapil.
Yeah, Sanjesh, so as Dr. Kapoor has mentioned, in the US, as PTFE and micropowders are exempted, however, all the new fluoropolymers, they command a very special application, as we have mentioned, couple of application names also. So the demand is inelastic of the prices majorly, and we expect that we should be able to majorly negotiate all the prices as per the tariffs slowly and steadily, and should be able to continue the business. Our approvals, as I mentioned, are already on, and some of the other approvals will keep on happening with every subsequent quarter, and the ramp-up will keep on happening in the business as and when we keep on getting these approvals, and also the commercial business keeps on increasing as we keep on getting more orders.
And just to add, Sanjesh, that the earlier 10% that we're talking about has already been passed on. So now we are looking at this delta of 15%.
Very clear, very clear. Just on the pricing of R32, with our 20%, 20,000 metric ton capacity coming in FY26, do you think prices slightly softened up, or you still believe it will?
Mr. Sanjesh, can you sound a little louder?
Yes. Is it good now?
Yes, far better now.
Yeah. On the R32 pricing, it's been quite firm for a while now, but now the capacities have started flowing in. What is the expectation on the pricing? Because we have seen this in 125 also, right? The prices went up to $18, then cooled off to $5, something like that in R32. Again, do you see a risk of pricing normalizing at the levels which were earlier, let's say, at $3-$4, or you still believe a $6 is a sustainable pricing?
See, of course, we expect the price to remain, in the same range. And it's not, and the what you're talking about, R25 was a different situation. The prices on R25 were based on a duty in very specific country. Okay, in this case, R32 fundamentals of where the R32 pricings are very different, and the reason they're very different than 125. Okay, and the reason primarily, of course, is the if there's constraint on the supply side and the prices being high in one of the largest suppliers in the world. Okay, so that's the reason the prices are high. So we expect it to be continue, but obviously, it's a very difficult to project, but we expect this to continue in this range.
Very clear, sir. Thanks, B sir and Kapil, answering all those questions, and best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thanks, Rajesh. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for a good set of number, and thanks for the opportunity. A follow-up on the R32 bit. From an end-use market where you will be selling this, so this will be largely focusing on the Indian market, or the proportion on the export side will be higher?
No, we'll be focusing, Ankur, on the global markets completely, because, today, because we already had 125, so we have a now combination of R32, 125, which gives us an opportunity to penetrate deeper with 410 into market all across.
Sure, sir. That's helpful. Second bit on the new fluoropolymers, you did highlighted, we going to almost optimal utilization by the end of this financial year. I recollect, we had some expansion plans on the FKP, the PVDF side, almost 300 odd crores. By when are we expecting this capacity to come on stream? And secondly, if there are any further plans, given that we will be optimally utilized by the end of this financial year?
See, the capacities in terms of the investment that we have made is online. OK, Okay, and that's those are the capacity that we are talking about, because these investments were made quite some time back. Okay, and as the qualifications have been received, we are getting more traction on orders and the volumes are going up. So in terms of capacity utilization, we expect the optimal to reach by the end of this financial year. Did I answer your question, Ankur?
Yeah, so just a clarification. So, you know, once we reach optimal utilization number this year, I'm sure given the demand, you know, environment, there will be an incremental sort of, you know, market share gain that we'll be looking forward to. Does this 300 crore capex suffice for that, for your growth in 27, or we are looking something beyond that as well?
No, we'll be looking at more investments in this, and I think we'll give you a better perspective probably a quarter from now, but we have plans to expand and add capacities in fluoropolymer business now as we are closing to the optimum capacity utilizations.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And just lastly, because of the renewable plant there, there was a saving that we were expecting of around, you know, 150 odd crores. Just, you know, if you can share some thoughts on the timelines on when we can start, you know, seeing the benefit from that coming in.
I'll request Kapil to...
Yeah. Okay, Kapil, the investment has started, the construction is going on site, and to that extent, you know, you must have noticed in one of our notes to the clause 41 that as a company we invested close to 190 crores till date as an equity. So the total plan is to be a partner in this 450 megawatt of renewable energy, and the saving will start accruing from Q3. So basically, you know, it will come in stages. I think the first installation will happen in Q3, and to that extent, the saving will start coming in. You should be aware that 50 megawatt is already operational. To that extent, the savings are already accounted for in our current P&L numbers.
Sure. So, just a clarification. The full benefit stands at 150 crore. So, let's say FY27 will see that full benefit.
That's right. So, FY27 will be the first year of full operation. So, so the full benefit will be available in that year. You're right.
Okay. Great, sir. That's helpful. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun Prasad from Amendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good evening, everyone. Sir, I think earlier we had a guidance for this, our existing business and EBITDA of 2,000 crores. So in light of these developments with the fluoropolymers segment, are we still sticking to these guidance? Second, on a like-to-like basis with the ref gas coming in, probably the like-to-like guidance number should be slightly higher, right? So if you can guide on this, it will be helpful.
Yes, Arun, I think... If I recall correctly, I don't think we have given any guidance in the last quarter. Of course, we had mentioned all along that there will be a 25% growth in our fluoropolymer business. And I don't think we had given 2,000 crore guidelines in last quarter or so for the EBITDA.
No, not in the last quarter. It was... mentioned before that, and it's kind of a medium-term target with the full potential of the fluoropolymers volumes.
Yeah, of course, our target is to reach that level, but that guidance we had not given in the last quarter.
Right. Okay, so the current volume run rate, is there any possibility that we will be reaching the full potential in this year, sir?
You mean for the fluoropolymers?
Fluoropolymers business, yes.
Yes, we said that we will reach the full potential by the end of this financial year.
Okay. And on the exit of the legacy player, what is that you are seeing on the ground? Anything visibly which is shifting ground, and what kind of the impact it is having on the pricing and inventory? Some bit of color on this would be helpful.
Could you come up again? You're mentioning about the legacy players
exactly.
Responding. Hello, Arun.
So
hello.
Am I audible?
Mr. Arun.
Yes, yes. Can you come up again, please?
We're asking the exit of the legacy player. Post that, we said that in the second half of the cycle and the calendar year 2020, we should see more impact on the volumes and as well as the pricing. Any development on that front?
Yeah, I'll let Mr. Malhotra take that, Malhotra.
So, Arun, some of the impact we have already started seeing in some of the products and segments, and we will continue to see that in subsequent quarters as and when the stocks deplete of these legacy players. And we keep on getting our approvals from the customers. So the business is already on and replacements are already on. And the process is undergoing from quarter to quarter.
Okay. What kind of the impact we have already kind of, say for example, in this quarter we have shown a QoQ increase of 12%.
Mr. Arun, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question as there are many participants left in the queue.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Arun. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead. There is no response. I'm taking the next participant, who is Archit Joshi from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening team and thanks for the opportunity. So first question on the segment information that we have started providing from this quarter. I see that we sold roughly 5 crores in the previous quarter and 1 crore this quarter from EV products. An addendum to that, if I just take a look at our capital employed disclosure, our 1,658 crores worth of segment assets have largely remained unchanged on a quarter-on-quarter basis. And we are expecting roughly 1,200 crores of capex infusion in the EV products business. Sir, first on the sales that you have done, sir, where is this exactly coming from? If you can elaborate a bit, that what part of the EV product we started selling. And if our 1,200 crore capex endeavor is still on track, and when do we expect, you know, the assets to start getting beefed up in the next few quarters? That would be my first question. Thank you.
Thanks, Archit. Our EV business, as I had stated earlier, is... we are looking at the longer term growth opportunities. In the short term, of course, now the sale that we're talking about is very, very small, and those, in my view, is still not trickled in. We expect the sales from the EV business to start trickling in by the second half of this year. It's been quite a little bit, okay. But we will start seeing more meaningful numbers perhaps in FY 27, okay, which will start seeing the full impact of the capacity that we have set up. Okay. Now, coming to your next question about your CWIP, I mean, this is approximately, this is a very, we have been around 1,000 crores, I think, in GFL, which is approximately because we have various projects which is going on at multiple units, and this is a typical number that we see. Because as these projects gets commissioned, you know, we take them, we capitalize them. So we do not see anything unusual with this 1,600 crores number because we have a large number of projects going on, and particularly, of course, in EV, where the large number of projects are under construction and under commissioning.
Kind of fully clear. I mean, I'm just referring to the presentation where we have given a divide that we'll invest 400 crores this year in GFL and 1200 crores in EV. And my question was largely pertaining to just getting a sense that how are we seeing capex in the EV part. Basically, are we sticking with the 1200 crore yearly capex?
Okay, I'm sorry. We had already indicated that we have invested close to 1300 crores in EV. Till the last financial year, and we are planning to add another 1,200 crores in this financial year going forward, and it remains as per the plan. Okay, so there is no change in the EV plan as of now.
Got it, got it. Understood. So one more question on the fluoropolymers bit. With, of course, knowing that the legacy player has exited and we have displayed a very solid performance in fluoropolymers, the next leg of CapEx that you are planning, maybe this 400 odd crore number that alluding to the presentation, any particular fluoropolymer that we are targeting? Is it more PTFE-led capacity addition or FKM, FTP, anything that you might want to give a broad directional kind of a guideline as to which, you know, within the product mix, which should be something that one should look out for in terms of growth prospect?
Yeah, thanks, Archit. Let me, Mr. Kapil, take that.
Yeah, Archit. Yeah, so this investment is going to be across all the fluoropolymers, including PTFE and new fluoropolymers.
It's difficult for us to bifurcate, yeah. Archit, because we see a growth opportunities.
In every product which we have in our portfolio. So it's going to be across all the products.
Sir, just an addendum to the previous one. I think we did have some plans within PVDF also to develop the solar grade. And I think I recall from previous notes about 2,500 odd tons of PVDF capacity addition. Is that all in place and are we seeing any ramp up in the solar grade PVDF? Where are we in that development if you can?
So I think that 2,500 capacity addition that we had probably may have mentioned earlier, because lately we have not been giving any details on the capacities. But coming back to this capacity of PVDF, this is largely for EV products, EV binders, and that capacity is in place. Okay, we are going through the final stages of qualifications now. And PVDF binder being material which goes into cathode, it requires a very long qualification process. So in PVDF, we are at a very final stages of qualifications. In fact, it's going through the scaled up trial right now, and we expect qualification to be complete by the end of this calendar year.
So nothing on the solar part, right? This is all binders now. Maybe that plan was stalled. Is that a fair assumption? In PVDF?
Most of it is for binder applications, which is EV or batteries.
Sure, sure. Understood. Thank you, sir. Thanks and all the best. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. A couple from my side. First, the bookkeeping question. What has led to decline in the other operating expenses during the quarter, which has resulted in EBITDA margin expansion?
Normally, the previous quarter was the year-end quarter, so we have normally a lot of provisions related to CSR, which often comes in the last quarter as other expenses. If you look back in previous quarter, like Q3 of last year, then this quarter is less in line with that.
So this 211 crore range is a sustainable range going ahead? Till the time our power expenses, probably the renewable thing comes in, but I think that will capture in the power expenses, not in other expenses.
Of course, you know, there will be a natural increase in the expenses over time, but of course it will, when you say sustainable, it doesn't, will not go back to 244. There will be some minor increase which will appear in the other expenses, but continue to be in the same range.
Got it. Secondly, on R32, on which existing capacities you have done the retrofitting, and by when do you expect to fully utilize your 20,000 ton capacity?
So this has been done from one of our existing plant, and as I said, that we will reach 20,000 ton by the end of this financial year. But the way we are planning is that it will not have much impact on any of our existing products that we have.
So basically, the plant that you have done the retrofitting was probably not contributing to our top line meaningfully, and then that's why the loss in the top line would not be meaningful. Is that what you are indicating? Hello, am I audible?
Sorry for the inconvenience. The line for the management has got disconnected. Give me a moment. I will join the management back.
Sure.
The management line is now connected. Mr. Krishan, you can ask your questions now.
Sorry, yes. Krishan, we got disconnected. I think you're asking about the capacity utilizations and impact on the existing revenue. Said that there won't be any impact at all because there has been internal adjustment, debottlenecking, and it will not have any impact on our existing products.
Got it. And the second part of that was, like, I understand that 20,000 ton capacity is coming up by F26. I was asking more like, when do you expect to fully utilize it, that 20,000 capacity of R32?
Looking at the market situation, we expect that to happen quickly. However, I mean, there's we cannot really say, but probably next few quarters after that.
Got it. And last bit, if I may, on the fluoropolymer side, in order to achieve 25% YY growth guidance that you've given, so the next 9 months, the ask comes about 28% YY growth. Wanted to understand, would it be largely volume growth or how would that be?
Yeah, it will be largely driven by the volumes. As we were already mentioning that we are under the process of, pitching in for the legacy players and also the approvals from coming from the other sectors, from the high-end grades. So that is predominantly, giving us the growth. And from there, we expect the volumes to grow up the way we have projected.
Got it, sir. Thank you for answering my question. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Krishan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agrawal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for taking my question. Sir, on the battery chemical business, is it fair to say that there is a little bit of a pivot which is there from our end customer perspective, from mobility to energy storage? And from a demand supply perspective, are there very different dynamics for battery chemical supplies to mobility applications versus energy storage applications? And does this, and do we have a, so, I mean, are we better positioned in ESS versus mobility?
Yes, Nitin. I'll just add my comment and then hand it over to Rajiv. Yes, there's a positive impact on us because most of the mobility is uses LFP chemistry predominantly.
Yes.
And the ESS uses LFP chemistry, and LFP chemistry typically has a higher salt consumption per gigawatt hour compared to NMC. And second is that of course, LFP, the expansion of LFP also gives us a much larger market segment for our LFP CAM products. So in both ways, it actually is a positive development. Rajiv, would you like to add?
Yeah. So, to your question, there is a movement towards, as far as lithium ion usage is concerned, towards energy storage than it was perhaps 6 months ago. With the growth in artificial intelligence and the data servers that are required to support it, there is a huge shift towards looking for stabilizing power supplies to such servers, which is driving consumption, which will drive consumption of energy storage solutions in the coming future. So that will
globally.
So that will drive the lithium ion battery consumption in energy storage as well as mobility. And as Dr. Kapoor said, most of the energy storage uses LFP chemistry, which uses significantly higher amounts of the lithium salts. So that will drive the increase the addressable market for lithium salts as well as for the LFP cathode active material.
The salt requirement is, Nitin, just the rule of thumb is almost double in case of LFP per gigawatt hour compared to NMC chemistry. Okay.
And sir, how is the comparative supply side position on this versus in mobility? I mean, are there more entrenched players in mobility versus, you know, in energy storage, we are in a better positioning, a competitive footing versus mobility? Is there any case like that?
Yeah, so, you know, when we look at the markets that we are focusing on, which is the US market, India and Europe, all these geographies are looking to diversify their supply chains and are very keen to find sources outside of China. And when we look at our major products, both LiPF6 and LFP cathode active material, there are limited suppliers available right now, and both for mobility as well as for ESS applications. And we have the advantage that first mover advantage of having been operating in this segment for the last 1 year or more, and having operating plants, supplying samples and getting validated. So we have the advantage of having qualified our products at many such potential users in the markets that we are looking into.
Just to add one more point, Nitin, that's one of the biggest upside that we have now is because of this new bill, which actually now has included ESS also as a part of the subsidy in U.S. manufacturing. So earlier this $45 subsidy was not encompassing the battery manufacturing used for ESS applications. Now this subsidy is being given to all the battery manufacturing, and of course with a condition that the input materials or the direct cost attributed for making batteries in US, 85% or up to 85% of that cost has to be outside the PFE, which is the prohibited foreign entity suppliers. So as we are not part of that category, it gives us a significant advantage in catering to the customer and participate in the supply chain where there are relatively few suppliers. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meghna Agarwal from Mount Intra. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for your opportunity. Are we audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, just asking, like, you all have helped us with the chemical breakdown. Can you even help us with the EBITDA versus of fluorochemicals, fluoropolymer, and bulk chemicals?
Yeah, Meghna, we do not give segmental EBITDA margins on EBITDA within the so that we have not been providing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is slightly technical. So we said in our opening remarks and later as well that by FY26 end, we will be able to operate the 20,000 tons of R32 plant. Now, given that the storage requirements for ref gas is different than solids and liquids, how are we placed to store in case the demand is limited in domestic market and in the exports market? So what is the kind of arrangement that we have made? And a light question to that, post FY26, if we were to increase the capacity further, we've done the remarkable job of retrofitting within a short period of time. But if we were to go for fresh capacity, will we be able to adhere to the December 26 deadline for the newer capacity? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Rohit. First of all, you know, the capacities as far as the, you know, storage, etc., we have tremendous experience in refrigerants for a very long time, for almost 35 plus years. We have been, you know, the typical storages, you know, storage tanks plus ISO tank or the small cylinders. So those are, of course, planned based on the market dynamics, demands. We are not concerned about, so it's not that we'll be storing 20,000 ton and then selling. It's not like that normally. But we do not see as an issue. Okay. Now, coming back to the capacity expansion plans, the beyond 20,000, we will of course look at how market opportunities unfold, and looking at the market opportunities, we may decide it, but definitely we will do it before whatever this stipulated target date that we have. We'll add all the capacities before that. Sure.
Thanks. Just second question again on the battery chemicals front. Given that our products will be at the last stage of validation, once validated, and given that multiple customers are currently validating the product, will there be a quantum jump in second H FY26 in terms of the supplies, and that would give us better visibility as far as the battery chemicals revenues are concerned? Thank you.
Hello. Can you hear me, Rohit?
Yes, sir. Yes.
First of all, right now, whatever revenue that will trickle in, that will be a significant jump over where we are. However, I would like to speak more about FY27, when we expect to see, of course, a very large jump as these qualifications come in place. We'll start seeing the orders coming in from the capacity that we already have in place.
Okay.
In this year, of course, there'll be toward the second half, we'll start seeing the revenues trickling in, but majority of it, we'll see the ramp up in 2027 and then onwards.
Sure. Thanks for answering all the questions and all the best.
Thanks. Thanks, Rohit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Oza from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just one question from my side. Are you evaluating any manufacturing facilities, perhaps through JV in the United States? I think this because that would create a shorter supply chain and also help in optimizing our working capital.
I'm sorry, it's still not clear, Pratik. Could you repeat the question? It's not very clear.
Yeah. Hi, sir.
Hello.
Am I audible? Am I audible?
You're audible, but it wasn't clear. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, sure. What I was asking is, are you evaluating any manufacturing facility, perhaps through JVs in United States? Asking this because, that would create a more resilient and a shorter supply chain and also maybe help in optimizing our working capital.
No, we are right now not looking at it, U.S. or any JV like that. We are not looking at, definitely not, if you mean to say, in fluoropolymers. We are not looking at that at the moment.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Moreover, Pratik, because we have a very integrated facility in India right now, at least in case of fluoropolymers, where the cost and the entire processes has been optimized. We do not see that happening if we move far away from this integrated facility that we have.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lavanya from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sorry, I got disconnected earlier. Most of my questions are answered. Just one clarification.
Ms. Lavanya, can you be a little louder?
Is it better now?
Better now. Thank you.
Yeah. 20,000 ton for R32, is it the additional capacity or overall capacity that it will be reaching by end of this year?
Lavanya, this is the total capacity because we were so far not manufacturing R32. We have just started. So our 20,000 will be our total capacity of R32 per year that we'll be reaching by the end of this financial year.
Okay. So just a retrofit question the earlier participant asked. This retrofit is not impacting capacity of all other refrigerants that we have. Is that understanding right?
No, it will not impact any of our existing product lines in refrigerants or any other product.
Okay, got that. And going on fluoropolymer, the 25% growth rate guidance is factoring in the benefit that we are expecting with the exit of the player. Is that right?
Yes, that's all been factored in, Lavanya, because there have been several factors which is contributing to this growth, and one of them is what you stated, which is exit market opportunities created by exit of legacy players. Yes, thank you.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We will take this that as our last question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Dr. Bir Kapoor for closing comments.
Thank you very much. And once again, I would like to thank you all for interest in Gujarat Fluorochemicals. Clearly, as I had stated earlier, we are looking for a very solid growth in fluoropolymer business as we go along, which is our core. And we also see very strong opportunities that is emerging in our new business of battery materials. The large number of, the factors which are all playing very positive for us. We are very well positioned today to play a leadership role in the segments. In next quarter or so, we'll have most of our products will have our commercial scale facilities ready, going through qualifications. So this presents a wonderful opportunity for our battery material business going forward. So with this, I would like to thank you all for interest in Gujarat Fluorochemicals and look forward to connecting with you again end of next quarter. Thank you.
On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your line.
Thank you.